Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices not a webcast, actually, monthly community call. I'm doing way too many webcasts as a recording, so I'm just repeating always the same story. So this time we're to have a closer look on the May 2016 release. We will have a few demos done by Bill Ayers and also by Patrick Rogers, and then we're going to slightly talk about the SharePoint framework in the end as well. There's always new people in this call, so I'm going to actually walk through what is the BNB. I'm going to walk through the typical set of things, what has happened during the last month, what was actually released, and also slightly about what's coming up in the future. There's some changes coming up in the BNB side which are not actually meaningful. Well, how would I put it? They are meaningful, but they don't actually change the model of what we want to do and how do we engage with the community. They will make this thing even better, which is a great thing. But let's actually get started on things. We're getting more and more people joining always a few minutes late, which is absolutely fine. So let's actually start going through the slides, if I can actually get the agenda slide moving as well. Give me 1 second. And like typically, I would ask people to get stay muted. And if we have time on the end, we will then open up the discussion for audio. The BNP monthly communicals are more about BNP core team and the BNP explaining what has happened within the past month. If you have random questions around, let's say, technologies or technical approaches or whatever, I would recommend you to join on the bi-weekly office hours, because those are for random questions and discussions and all of that. And obviously, I use the Yammer group, which is highly active. So let's actually get started. We'll start with the monthly highlights, contributions and other topics, and then we'll have those two demos, and then we'll, in the end, we're going to talk about the SharePoint framework. Or one of the things what we wanted to do from a SharePoint engineering perspective is to give you guys an opportunity to ask questions in our windows, and then we can actually talk about those things if there's any random concerns or questions at this point. And there was an interesting release last week around the SharePoint framework. So we want to make sure that you feel if there's any really urgent questions, you have an opportunity to ask them and we can get back on those questions as soon as possible. Let's actually get moving on things. And if there's any challenges around around audio or recording audio or sharing, all of this will get recorded, so you will be able to access the recording within 24 hours in the channel 9. First of all, the BNP, we are more and more moving to the direction where the BNP actually means two different things. It means Office 365 developer patterns and practices, but it actually also means SharePoint patterns and practices. And one of the things why I want to actually raise that to a discussion is that people do understand that a lot of the patterns and practices and guidance what we are providing is not just for SharePoint Online, it's also for on-premises. So this is also around SharePoint. And you will see more and more around the SharePoint topics in the future as well related on the SharePoint framework. Some of that stuff we cannot yet talk about, but yeah, sooner or later we'll increase the knowledge around that one. And please remember to mute yourself during this call. We'll open up the audio for later on if there's time. Thank you. So AKMS Office Dev BNP is the one location where you can always access the latest and greatest information around the BNP. We're trying to update that page as fast as possible with the latest links and webcast and all of that. There's a lot of material over there, and that's the easiest way to get access on the BNP material. A few things, like mentioned, there's a lot of material. This is a one slider, which you can take as a screenshot if you want, or access that later on in the recordings. But I think it's a relatively good slide explaining all of the different resources around the BNP. So we do have a Channel 9, we do have an MSDN pages, so official guidance in MSDN, which will be actually fully automated with our GitHub updates in the future. So any people contributing on the GitHub guidance around the BNP will get credited in the MSDN as well. That will be available in the later parts of May, and we're going to talk about that one then in the June monthly community calls more detail. We do have a Yammer group for random questions and discussions. We do have a Twitter account, which haven't been super active. I'm trying to improve on that. Monthly community calls are the ones where you are right now. We do have quite a significant amount of repositories all under the Office Dev right now. And you can easily go and check out what those repositories do contain. There's quite a lot of material, and our thinking has been that we spin off random repositories as needed. But we don't want to have a one repository per every single sample because that would make life extremely difficult for consuming those samples. Docs.com will have all the presentations like this one slightly later today. There's already 80 presentations and material and graphics available for you to consume any way you want. You don't need to ask a permission to consume anything around BNP. You just take it, consume it, and start using it any way you want. And the BNP Partner Pack is also available, which is a great starter kit for people to actually start integrating or implementing stuff in a Office 365 or in SharePoint Online. Good. Moving on things. Like mentioned, there's a lot of stuff. How can I actually find the sample or guidance which would be relevant for me? Because I'm looking, for example, how would I not use custom master pages? Or what would be the practices of implementing, let's say, typical web control in the SharePoint Online? The easiest way to do this is go to dev.office.com under the resources and menu, choose BNP, and there's a sample/code link in the page where you can access the code gallery, the BNP code gallery, and which actually has the guidance articles listed as well. There's a nice search text box which you can use for easily find the relevant samples for your particular topic. So if you're looking for something in user profile, taxonomies, a search, whatever, use the text box and it will easily it will show you all the material which is available. Good. Within the last month, we did release, well, in a month, it always depends because we typically release a monthly release in every single first Friday of the month. So it slightly depends if there is a 4 weeks or 5 weeks during that time period. But right now, within the past month, we have released five new webcasts as well. And these are around introducing the BNP JavaScript Special Interest Group. We're going to slightly touch that later today within this call, which is a great introduction on the JavaScript-based development, which is aligning actually to the SharePoint framework. So if you're interested about knowing what is the JavaScript Special Interest Group in the BNP, that would be a great webcast to have a look. The second one, which we did, was a SharePoint client-side object model, season versioning for your customization. Great one with Bert around different season versions and which of the ones would be you should be using, for example, in on-premises or in SharePoint Online. How do I get the latest version of CSAM? How do I manage that within my customization? And it has a great demo as well. JavaScript and Microsoft Graph was a nice webcast with Stefan Bauer and Waldeck Mastercard around implementation or implementing a JavaScript-based application, which is accessing Microsoft Graph. The 2nd of May, we released Managing Web Principles in Office 365. And this is, well, somebody might think that this is more IT pro way of doing stuff, but we actually showed a nice application which is showing how to access those principles using code as well, and together with Frank Marasco from Service Engineering. And then on 9th of May, that was yesterday actually, time is flying fast, we released this Getting Started on the Web Stack in SharePoint Development. This really is showing the basic technologies around what we will be using potentially in the future if you're interested in doing customizations on top of the SharePoint framework, which was introduced last Wednesday. So good webcast with Waldeck and Stefan on that topic. Good. Some quick statistics on the BNP side. So overall month over month statistics. The unique visitors, it's not going down, which is a good thing, but it has flatlined, which is not obviously optimal, but that's understandable. We're hitting roughly 10,000 unique visitors across all of the repositories in BNP. And that's a pretty big number for the past previous 2 weeks, because that's actually past 2 weeks, how many unique visitors have been visited the PMP repositories. The Yammer group is keep on growing all the time, which is good, and it's still super active. And we in the PMP community, we in the PMP core team are trying to be actively helping you guys with the questions as well. On that side, I really personally, I like the fact that people have started really helping each other in that Yammer group as well, because typically you get actually answers quite fast, which is great. And the GitHub forks has been increased. We actually just passed within the PMP repo today, 1,500 forks, which is a really huge number. And then the pull requests are growing as well. And then the last one is the NuGet downloads. And we'll come back on the NuGet packages changes in a second. Good question. What happened in January from Patrick? In January monthly community call was on the second Tuesday of January. I think it was something like 9th of January. And when we have a look on the previous 2 weeks on the unique visitors, we are actually in the holiday season. It's actually a good thing that the January is down, because it means that the community has taken some time off and they haven't been working during holidays. So that's absolutely understandable. So we can see all of the holiday seasons in EMEA or in US within the statistics relatively easily. A few things more. So PMP Yammer group, aka MS Office Dev PMP Yammer. We have started a special interest group for client-side development. This is a pilot which we want to do. So we want to have a slightly more, let's say, concentrated discussion on certain topics like client-side development. And the PMP special interest group for client-side development is having actually weekly calls. And it's building together with the community a reusable core component for JavaScript using actually the WebStack technologies and WebStack techniques. So exactly the same stuff what we will be doing in the SharePoint framework as well. We do have a bi-weekly office hours, which is essentially there to explain what are we planning to do or what the core team is doing, and then to have an open discussion around technical topics. So if you have a technical question, I need to get rid of list templates in my SharePoint deployment, or how would I do them in a SharePoint online, or I need to do a WebStack development and I'm hitting something around gulp, give me help. Those would be the typical questions maybe. And we can have an open discussion around that in the biweekly office hours. In these calls, in the monthly community calls, we typically have more than 100 people participating. So having a one-to-one discussion is relatively hard. So that's really the reason why we wanted to have this biweekly office hours as a more open and a free discussion. PMP Core. So changes within the May release. The PMP core component, the season one, will have right now a native SharePoint 2016 support. So we actually released three versions of the PMP core component. One for SharePoint 2013, one for SharePoint 2016, and one for SharePoint Online. Previously, we used to have only core components for on-premises, which was SharePoint 2013 and SharePoint Online. As part of this change, we actually released a completely new set of NuGet packages. So we essentially renamed the PMP core component NuGet packages. The old ones are still there, they still work, and we actually updated them with the latest versions as well. But they were slightly misleading, it was hard to understand where the Office Dev PMP Core 15 was actually targeted to, or PMP Core 16 wasn't actually for SharePoint 2016, that was for SharePoint Online. So we did change the naming, so it will be much more evident what the NuGet package is actually for. And you can easily update essentially the reference within your existing solutions if you want to take advantage of the latest version on which has been released. Alternatively, you can take an advantage of the latest version of the old NuGets, which, like mentioned, have been updated, and we will most likely update them in the June release as well. But after that, we won't be updating the older versions. We'll be only working with the new NuGet packages. So we do recommend that you would actually start using the new NuGet packages as fast as possible. We'll also update the existing samples and solutions, which unfortunately will take slightly time, but we're targeted with that update for June release. So they will be referencing the right NuGet packages, the core component NuGet packages. And the naming is much more, let's say, descriptive. There's a NuGet packet called SharePoint PMP Core Online. There's a NuGet packet called SharePoint PMP Core 2016. It's pretty evident what is the target environment for which NuGet package. And this really ties into on the season versioning, because somebody might be asking that, hey, wait a minute, why isn't there one NuGet package? Why do we have three? And that really comes down on how SharePoint actually works from a season versioning perspective. And I wanted to have this one slide here and quickly walk it through and explain the reasoning and justify or explain how it actually works, because community seems to have confusion around this one. So we do have a season version 15, and this is essentially the client-side object model for SharePoint 2013. You can use this version of the season to a newer versions of SharePoint, meaning SharePoint 2016 or SharePoint Online. The NuGet package, the core component NuGet package, would be SharePoint PMP Core 2013, and that's a baseline of April 2015 CU. What does the baseline mean? It means that that core component is taking advantage of the properties and methods which we have introduced on April 2015. So theoretically, if you're running that core component or the native season with older version of SharePoint 2013, you might run into a situation where the property or method you're using is not actually exposed from a server side. And that's why you want to actually ensure that you're running the right version of the server side and right version of the client side as well. The season version 16 is for SharePoint 2016. The native Microsoft released a season version, and the PMP released core component is SharePoint PMP Core 2016. The baseline is in 2016 RTM. And if you would be using this season NuGet and season assemblies within your code against SharePoint 2013, you can potentially hit a property or method which is not exposed, so it wouldn't actually work. You would run into an exception. And the same then applies on the SharePoint Online. So the SharePoint Online has a season version 16.1, and the core component for that one is SharePoint PMP Core Online. If you can theoretically use this season against on-premises, but again, if you are hitting a property or method which isn't exposed in on-premises, you would have run into an exception. So just making clear that everybody understands the versioning thinking and how it works. If you're more interested about this one, there was the webcast which we did with Bert Jansen earlier this month, which is explaining how to do, for example, targeting all of these three environments using on one single code base, which is a great webcast and a demo. Good. May 2016 release. So for the actual new stuff within the BMP gallery, we didn't have that much. One of the new solutions is the provisioning Visual Studio tools, which is actually underneath the BMP tools repository. And this one is actually an extension for Visual Studio. And the team who created that was committed to actually maintain that and get feedbacks and issues and pull requests against that solution as well. And it's actually a really nice extension for Visual Studio, giving you capabilities of more easily taking a granted or using the BMP provisioning engine. So it actually generates the XML files natively. We did update also the core .taxonomy picker, which is a component for taxonomy picker usage in the provider-hosted add-ins. And then there was some updates in the provisioning UX app with small updates or bug fixing, to be clear. In the core on engine updates, in the core component side, obviously the big thing was SharePoint 2016 native support. So that's now natively supported, and there's three of those NuGet packages released. We did release actually version 1.0 of the core JS component as well. And we will have a demo slightly later today, well, relatively fast, done by Patrick Rogers, on what it actually means and how does it actually work. It has been released also as a NPM package. NPM is essentially same as NuGet Gallery, but for JavaScript. So you can actually start using that by using NPM install sppnp.js. And Patrick is going to show a lot of that stuff in a second. In the PMP provisioning engine, another significant amount of new stuff, some bug fixes and adjustments based on the community contributions, but again, native SharePoint 2016 support in there as well. In the PowerShell side, some new commandlets, like the invoke SPO web action commandlet, which is a really cool one. Because you can easily write a one PowerShell line, a few lines of PowerShell, and then you can essentially say that this piece of PowerShell script will be executed against all of the following sites which are hitting, for example, following query. So really, really nice improvement, and obviously the documentation has been updated as well. On the PMP Partner Pack, it has been updated to use the latest NuGet packages. On a small note on the PMP provisioning engine, we did release, I think it was earlier today, a latest version of the provisioning schema, but the engine doesn't yet implement that. So we're looking into having that native engine capabilities implemented for the latest schema version in the June release, or at least some of that stuff will be included in the June release. We'll talk about that one more within a 1 month. Good. Humongous amount of people contributed within the last month. So there was a lot of contributions coming across the community, and these are in the core component, in PowerShell, in the JavaScript core component as well. I'm not going to actually mention all of you by name, I'm sorry for that, but because the list is actually the biggest one which we never had. So it's the biggest one which, yeah, we have been having in the past as well. But great amount of contributions, and thank you everybody for helping on sharing your knowledge and time for the benefit of others, because that's absolutely appreciated, and it helps the other people and all the whole community to learn about the new things and to learn about the right things to do, customizations in SharePoint or in Office 365. Something which we also did first time within this month was that we actually are kind of giving credits for the company level as well. And these are the components which we got a approval to show their logo. And please do unmute yourself, just a reminder. So Affector, Rencor, Cognit, well, Stefan Power has his own logo. So I just use that one. Stefan is an independent consultant. Synpraxis Consulting, Piasus, OneBit Software, and Perficient. As the companies who provided essentially their own employees' time for the benefit of others. There was some other people actually absolutely contributing as well, and most likely the companies are fine with that contributions, but these are the companies which we got an approval to show the logo during this month. So thank you again one more time for all of this, and for those who might be contributing in the future. Just please let us know if your company is fine to give the company level credits as well. So we're going to use the logo within our messaging as well. Good. From a Microsoft side, we have a typical set of core team members, but then a few additional guys, Alex Randall and David Ray, were working on a JavaScript core component and contributed on that one in a weekly calls on the PMP special interest group for client-side development. A few points on here. I'm going to really fast go to the demos, and I do apologize that we're always rushing, but it's always a matter of time. There are some changes within the patterns and practices site, and these are mainly changes internally in Microsoft. So we will keep on doing what we're doing without any changes from our, let's say, monthly release cycle perspective. But internally in Microsoft, the PMP ownership has been moved to SharePoint engineering. So the SharePoint engineering who's responsible of actually implementing, as an example, the SharePoint framework, does own the PMP as well. And that's actually a great thing, because that means that the same people who actually are responsible of implementing this, the client-side framework and responsible of all of the existing CSAM APIs will be a part of the team and part of the PMP program. And we will be absolutely continue having an open discussion with the community. We're looking into, as an example, using the open source and the PMP as the channel for the upcoming releases for SharePoint framework or samples around the SharePoint framework as well. So this will clarify some of our internal, let's say, responsibilities and will absolutely be highly beneficial for this community-driven work. And more on this will be released more and more. More information around this one will be then shared slightly later whenever we get all of our plans for the upcoming SharePoint changes also clarified. Good. Just a quick note on Joon's side. We're looking into having that additional schema support implementation and provisioning engine. Other than that, we don't have any specific really massive things, but overall, so we will keep on evolving what we're having. And we're more than welcoming all of the additional samples which you might want to contribute on the BNP initiative. Good. I think it's time for demos. So let's actually start with Patrick and then move to Bill after that. Patrick, are you good to go?
I think so.
Cool.
Coming to you live from a hotel in Redmond.
Oh, hopefully the connectivity will be fine, but.
Yep, we
But
hope.
we hope. It depends on a hotel, unfortunately.
Well, I think you
So,
can guess which one I'm in.
yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, it's pretty early, so it should be fine.
Okay, let me know when you can see my screen.
Still loading on this side of the pond. And got it.
Okay, great. As Vesa said, we've got the JavaScript Special Interest Group. I want to give a quick plug to that. So, as he discussed, we are a smaller group underneath the larger Patterns and Practices umbrella focused on client script development and the new development model, which we can now talk about, which is very exciting. We've got the concept of a worldwide one team, so anybody's welcome to join. It's an elastic team, so when you have time, jump in. When you don't, we totally understand. And we try and remain very community-driven, both by the work we should be doing and enabling folks to use our stuff. And our last point is enabling developers both to do exciting work as part of the team and learn new things, as well as enabling folks that are going to consume our library. So just a couple of quick links. The top one is to the sample I'm going to show here just in a second. The middle one is to our Yammer group, a great place to get involved, ask questions. There's also a link in there to our weekly team call, which is every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern US time. I'll let you do the math on what that means for your part of the world. And the third link is to our repo in GitHub, which I'll show very briefly just so folks can see what that looks like. So let's get out of the slides and get over to some of this stuff. So this is our repo. It's very much structured like the CSOM core component. We have a master and a dev branch. If you'd like to contribute, you're absolutely welcome. Please do so against the dev branch. I won't dive into the code on this call. I don't think it's the forum for that. But get involved in the Yammer group. Check out the code. One slight correction to what Vesa said: we will be going V1 later this week. We are not quite there yet, but we are very, very close. We have one milestone issue left, and then we are at V1. And the NPM package will be updated, and everything will be set at the end of this week. So in addition to developing this core component, one of the things we're doing is focusing very much on the new dev model and as well as samples for how to use the core component. So we also have, this is back in the main Patterns and Practices repo under samples. It's sharepoint.pmp-js-core. And I'll let you come back and read the README here. But what we want to look at is the code. And this is created as a SharePoint add-in. So you can pull this down out of GitHub. and with a quick F5, hopefully a quick F5, it will load up in your site as a SharePoint add-in. And you've got some options here. We're going to go through a couple of these. The first one is to view samples. And so we've enabled this viewer. So you can actually see, this is our Hello World sample. So you can see this is the code that's actually running in the page. And I can click a button and run that sample, and I get a live result off of my dev site. So I can see it work here in the context of my site with my data. And kind of interact and see exactly what this API, what our library is producing. And then the second part of each of these samples is there is embed code, which you can simply copy and go back to your host web and insert a web part. It always takes me a little bit to remember where the script editor web is. So just load up a simple script editor web part. We can insert what we just pasted into that. Save the page, and you can actually see we get the same live result here in the page. And the difference between these two things is if you look closely, you'll see the API's calls change slightly. But this is much more aligned. These embedded code samples are much more aligned to what you would use with the new development model, where you're operating directly in the page. So we're trying to provide ways to see both using the code out of a SharePoint add-in, using the cross-domain web, so that's supported out of the API natively, out of the library natively, as well as using it embedded. And we have samples how to use so far with required.js, samples with the caching. So we do have some caching helper methods built in to the library for both session and local storage. We've got several different examples around logging. So we've got some logging core classes for folks to use. We've got a great search API that hopefully will help folks really see the power of using search very simply from REST. We've got kind of an example here of adding a list and then an item, which is also demonstrating the chaining of promises. So we're creating a list by just saying add a list. Then is sort of the ES6 promise. If you're familiar with jQuery, it's the done statement. So then, and then we are then adding an item to that list. We've got some examples around configurations. We have a configuration store that works on a provider model. So this example works through that. Adding a lot more samples to this is now, this is out there in the GitHub, so you can get this today. And the last thing in here I wanted to show you is we also have put in what I've called an API playground, but it allows you to play with the library directly in your browser and test out different queries, see how different things would react, and so you can actually play with and form your queries right here in the browser, and then take that and sort of test things out and see how they go. For example, we could do a filter, and this get that there. And so you can see very quickly, you can play with the queries and learn about the API kind of directly without having to go write code, without having to deploy your own add-ins. This lets you play with the API directly. So that's what I had. Hope you folks get involved. If you're interested, join the Yammer group. Get in on the conversation. We're always looking for folks to contribute more samples, more ideas to both the main library, the core component library, and then the samples as well. So thanks, everybody. Look forward to chatting with you in the future on this stuff.
And relatively fast one. Thank you, Patrick. Let's move the Bill Ayers. And like mentioned, we do have a weekly community calls around the JavaScript development. So please join on those if you want to see live demos and discussion around this particular library. There was a discussion in iWindow, the V1 will be released later this week. I had misinformed myself on that one. Sorry, Patrick. But you can already download the sample, and it actually works already. So the V1 will be released as an npm package later this week. But do we have Bill Ayers still in the room? We'll see. Oh, there you go. You actually dropped for a while. Let's update you as a presenter. Yep, there's Bill.
Right, how do I do this?
Audio is cool. So you can just do a sharing the screen. That's probably the easiest thing to do then, rather than uploading any files, because uploading of files will take a while.
Sure.
Yes, Bob, devs. We don't know how to do this. Yeah, never mind. You're too dev-oriented, Bill.
Yeah, and WebEx and every difference tool that exists for presenting and sharing. I'm afraid the technology changes faster than I can keep up with it.
Yeah, that's typical,
So
unfortunately.
I've got a little can everybody see my desktop and
Not quite yet here. Give it a second.
it's just kind of getting
Yep,
to the
got it.
stage where
Got it.
okay. So I'm for using, and one of the problems I found was if you wanted to build something with Cordova, which is an HTML5 framework but for mobile development, I found it very difficult to find just the bits of code that I wanted. Is the sort of 5 lines of code that gives you an access token and allow you to make a REST request, and all of that seemed to be buried into enormous samples that used either framework X or framework Y and 1,000 different files and some particular development pattern that somebody had used. So I tried to come up with something a little bit simpler just to get you started. So there's nothing very sophisticated here. Obviously, if you were building a real live app, you'd use a framework of some description to build the UI. But this is just to give a quick demo of how to get a token and do that within an HTML5 hybrid mobile application. So this is what the application looks like. So that's a sort of a screenshot. Again, it's intended for demo purposes, so you don't want to be looking inside tokens and extracting information from them and using it in your production applications. Just use the REST APIs. Regard the token as a sort of an opaque thing. But it's been disentangled here, and it's not actually encrypted. It's just uses Base64 encoding, so you can look inside it for interest's sake and see what's there. So that, it's quite a fun thing to play with as well. So just anybody who's not familiar with the HTML5 hybrid story, we can go from the extreme of a fully native mobile application, which we'll be using. So if it was on Android, you'd be writing in Java. If you're building for Apple, for iOS, you'd be building in Objective-C or Swift. And then at the other extreme, we've got the pure web applications where things are running either client side or possibly that part of it is in a web application. And the HTML5 hybrid applications are what comes in between there. So you're using web technologies, which is great because you can reuse all that knowledge. And you really just using web technology for the UI and JavaScript for your business logic. Now, of course, the current big news is Xamarin, which falls more towards the native side of that spectrum and gives you a way of writing C# code built on top of an implementation of the .NET framework that runs on the different platforms. So that's not what we're talking about here. But HTML5 hybrid, and particularly Cordova, is, I believe, the most popular technology that people are using for building mobile applications. So Cordova is the framework formerly known as PhoneGap. I changed its name. There's a long story. If you think Microsoft's bad for renaming products, the PhoneGap Cordova story is a complete mess. But a lot of these other frameworks are built on top of Cordova. So it's just gives you a web view inside a native application, effectively, which you then work inside. But it's also got this great plugin model that, which we'll come to, which is relevant, that allows you to run a bit of native code to get at some of the hardware capabilities. That's why it was called PhoneGap, because it was the gap between what HTML5 can do. Okay, so far? So, we want to use Microsoft Graph, and there's a kind of a bewildering way of different bits of technology to do that. So, we probably want to use ADEL, the Active Directory Authentication Library, but it's really the ADELs. There are many of them. And the first one you might look at is ADEL.js. But that's actually really a client-side library. It's using the implicit flow, and I've heard of a few people that have then said, okay, maybe we could use that with the authentication authorization code flow, which is probably not a good idea in a pure client-side application where everything's running in the browser. When we're running mobile, we can be we don't have to be quite so obsessive about not holding any kind of tokens, because we've got a bit more of a degree of control. In Visual Studio, the tool called the Add Connected Service Wizard, which works for various different projects, and the Visual Studio Cordova project is one of them. And it's quite nice, and it will build you a nice Office 365 library. And in there, buried in there, there's a little library that does the token management and gets a token. And as far as I can tell, that's not using ADEL. It might have been inspired by ADEL, but I think it was written by whichever team built the Add Connected Service. Was it? Some people on the call might know more about what's going on behind the scenes than I do. But so it's a nice little library, but it doesn't take full advantage. It's all purely running in JavaScript. So what we now have is the ADEL plugin for Cordova, which is, because it's plugin technology, it's using the native ADEL. So if you build an Android app, it'll use the native Android version of ADEL, and similarly for the iOS version, and for Microsoft, obviously, for Windows and Windows Phone, and it'll use the plugin. So that's what we're using, and there's more information about it. There's a link to Vittorio Bertocci's blog, who goes into it in some detail, but it's included in the configuration wizard that's built into Visual Studio, so it's now sort of a built-in one, and you can just add it to your project. And that gives you the advantage of using the native code for the Active Directory Authentication Library, which will do things like secure token caching and harden browsers, because it's been implemented specifically for that piece of hardware. Okay, so the sample that I've added is at under samples, microsoftgraph.cordova.mobile. There's a bit of a help file there. As we dig into it, there's this quite interesting usage pattern that you should be aware of, because they've slightly changed the way it used to be that acquire token async, I think I've got this right, acquire token async used to default to the sort of the auto prompt. So if you already had a token in the cache, it would pick it up, and if you didn't, it would prompt you. Now we use this construct where we nest these two calls. So there's a call to token acquire token silent async, which will try and get a token from the cache, and then it will prompt with a use the, so this is actually on the fail method, effectively, of the promise that's returned. It's going to then, you then get it to call acquire token async. It's a bit convoluted, the reason why it's doing it that way. I think the main reason is because on certain platforms, particularly Windows Phone, when you go to the authentication dialog or the consent dialog is actually going to suspend your application and it'll restart later. So it just gives an opportunity in the library to deal with that. So that's, I find that slightly uncomfortable that you're kind of using a fail result as part of your normal flow. But anyway, you know, it's a minor thing. So prerequisites to use the sample are it's built using Visual Studio 2015. There are command line tools if you prefer to do it that way. You could build it that way too. You need these Visual Studio tools for Apache Cordova installed. They're not there by default in they're not there by default when you install Visual Studio, so you might have to go back into the installer and check the Apache Cordova tools job. And then I've just used Vanilla.js. Make sure you download Vanilla.js. Only joking. I've not even used jQuery in this. I've just used pure JavaScript. So it's not the most elegant of code, but it's simple. Right. So if I go to Visual Studio, just looking down the comments here, Ionic is actually using Angular as the framework. I mean, you can use any framework you like. Personally, I quite like React, which is quite a very efficient for doing client-side for mobile development, where you don't always have a lot of processor power to play with. So here's the here's my index.js. This is just at config.xml. You see that if you look at the plugins.
Jumping in. Can you do a full screen on that one? So just easier to watch.
Okay, sure. So you see that they're on to 0.62 version of this. There's that this ADL for Cordova plugin is on GitHub as well. So you can also if this ever gets up and the tooling isn't up to date, you can always go custom and go to Git and put the GitHub in there. It'll actually pull it in from GitHub. So I've got a very simple page here, which is I've got a few things and some inputs and Visual Studio's decided to go on strike for a minute. Yes, there we go. So I've got a few things with IDs here, which are things in, and then it's just using the sort of native JavaScript, and it's going to add some event listeners to things. And then what happens is in here I've got some methods. So when you load the data, depending on which option you've picked, it'll go off and just use an XHR request to get the data. And probably the interesting bit is here where I'm getting the token. So this is what I was talking about here. You call acquire token silent async, and then in the failure anonymous function here on the promised return, it calls acquire token async. And I've also got where I've got the authority here, I'm getting it from the cache if I can as well, because I'm not absolutely sure. That might not be necessary. I could possibly just use this, new it up every time. I just wanted to make sure it was efficient. And then once it's got an access token, it can start populating the data. And there are a few utility methods down here to unpack things and show them for demo purposes. So if I run this, I've already got this running in Windows as a Windows 10 application. So if I hit load data here, it will give me the authentication prompt. So I'll type in a I'm not going to use my own one because I've got a temporary Office 365 account here on Microsoft, isn't it? .com, and the password is top secret, of course. And then we get the consent dialog. Of course, I've asked for everything. And then we accept that, and then it will go off, and we can do things like so it's now loaded the contacts I added into that tenant, and I can change. I've got a few sort of pre-canned ones here, but you can also go in here and edit the REST endpoint as well that you want to load, and load it again. Now, if I close this down and started it up again, I wouldn't get prompted again because it's cached all the credentials. But if I clear the cache and try to run it again, then again I get prompted.
I like the cleanness of UI. The UI is pretty clean.
It's not an exercise in UI design. It's just everything as simple as possible.
You should hire Stefan Bauer to do that, at least.
I think for the sake of a few lines of CSS, it probably wouldn't hurt, would it? And then, I shall be very happy to accept a pull request. Here's the same thing running in Android in the emulator, and again if I load data, but now of course it's using the native. I think it's using the system browser in this case, and I could put in here admin at what was it, billcorp.com. Where if you watch very closely, you'll be able to see my password, which I'll have to change later now, I suppose. And then you get a similar experience, but this just now. So this is actually using a native ADL implementation in JavaScript, I assume. You can dig into these plugins and see how they're working. And there we are. There's our unpacked token, just for interest. Can't emphasize enough that you don't want to be relying on the contents of the token to do anything important, but it's something that you can, and this is the data that it's returned from the REST request. But it's interesting to see what's inside the token. You can see the expiration date. It's a normal token. It's got about an hour on the token, and then it will automatically go and get a, again, the library takes care of all this. It'll, as required, send a refresh, use the refresh token to get another token and so on. And those tokens are stored securely by the platform, so we can use things like refresh tokens. And as long as you keep using the application, you shouldn't get prompted again for a few months. Or if you leave it too long, you might get another prompt, but the token cache will take care of it. But that's not our problem. That's what the ADL library gives us, or the libraries give us for the different platforms. So that's about it, Vesa.
Okay. Cool. Good demo. I think just from a sake of timing, let's actually switch back on the slides because I wanted to briefly touch also the SharePoint framework. Great demo, Bill. Thanks for that. And it's good to actually see that kind of stuff shown as well. Good. So what we wanted to do, and we don't have a significant amount of time today, but what I wanted to do is briefly to have an opportunity to have at least a one way of channel for you guys to ask questions, if you have any questions around the SharePoint framework, if you have questions which have not been yet addressed across the community blog posts. The idea of this one is just simply to have if there's a small amount of questions, we can actually tackle them through today, and then we can continue, and we'll continue this discussion in upcoming PMP calls as well. Just a small note, it's kind of an interesting one of the things what people have been wondering, at least in some of the social media, are we going to call it SPX or SPFX? Which is interesting, which is completely meaningless from a capability perspective. But SPFX means some sort of a movie making special effects, and SPX is actually a company which is listed in NASDAQ. So both of them are not that good tags, but anyway. So I'm going to start reading the IAM windows, and you can hit questions. And what I want trying to do is to speed up on the answer, so I will get at least an initial answer on all of the questions. Is there a getting started video that shows how to build up a machine to get a dev pipeline up and running? That from Paul. That's probably for the SharePoint framework side. The easiest way to actually do that is probably to have a look on the this week's webcast, which we did with Waldeck and Stefan. We didn't actually explicitly mention about the SharePoint framework, but or have a look on the what Patrick has and the JS special interest group has actually in a really nice way documented in the GitHub as well. How to get started? What do you want to install? The Node.js? What is a webcam? What is a Git? Gulp? What is all of this stuff? Easiest way to understand to get started. The thing is, though, that right now within your tenant, not even a first release tenant, the SharePoint framework isn't available. It's coming. You can already start doing development using the web stack, and that was the whole point of us releasing the getting started with web stack development. But you cannot directly take granted of the full SharePoint framework for the time being. And then I'm going to actually quickly come here. Any news on when the branding story will be made available? No specific schedules on that. There will be a branding support. It will be evolving from the existing branding options. But I don't want to actually comment anything which would lead you guys in the wrong conclusions. And now, there will be public communications around the branding support for the VNext experience and latest by Ignite timeframe, but Oberso will come back with a official communications on that one. Trust me, you can manage branding in team sites, you can manage branding in publishing sites. There will be publishing sites, there will be team sites. The technologies and approaches will be slightly different than what they are right now, but we will absolutely give you guys guidance and input around the branding practices as well. Is there what's the plan for store from Mark Anderson? So this refers actually on the question around the fact that the JavaScript the SharePoint framework works in a way that the JavaScript is actually running within the context of the page. It's no longer running in an iframe like it used to be if you actually took advantage of the adding model, let's say the initial thinking of the adding model or add model. Like within the PNP, we started actually promoting this embedded JavaScript options quite significantly already like 2 years ago, because that was the only way we can truly make SharePoint to customize that based on the business requirements. And that will then cause the follow-up challenge, which is how do I limit permissions? Well, technically you don't. You will have the JavaScript that's running in the page will have the permissions of the end user. So it's based on a trust. The exact store model will be coming at some point, but it won't be there in the version 1.0. And the exact logistics and the models on how you actually get your stuff in the store is still under development or in planning. So it will be there in one way or another. It might require a high permissions for the tenant admins, so you need to actually have that trust between the companies, which I do understand that some people might be then considering, oh my god, I need to trust my providers. But then if you go back a few years in the SharePoint development, that's exactly what we were forced to do anyway with Farm Solutions as well. Or if you use the custom user actions right now or embedded JavaScript, or if you have JavaScript enabled as a script enabled in your site collections, anybody can actually embed a JavaScript on SharePoint. So there are decisions to be done by the administrators. How do you control this? And do you allow certain things or not? The SP framework or SPX framework, whatever you want to call that, will require a tenant administrator or a person who has sufficient permissions to app catalog to actually accept the customizations to be deployed. So there is a level of a administrative operation. It won't be an end user who's capable of embedding this on the pages. Pretty long answer considering our timing. Let's actually go a few minutes beyond the clock because I do have at least some time. Oliver says, will the new modern pages have a master page or similar concept to embed JavaScript CSS to all pages? We are working on that details. The thinking is we in the engineering absolutely understand and acknowledge the requirement. So you have to have a consistent branding across the site, regardless of what page you're actually moving into. And we're looking into getting that implemented, because that's a native way of SharePoint doing that. Will it be only in the publishing scenarios? Will it be only in the collaboration scenarios? We'll have a slightly different story. We'll see. And we'll absolutely come up with a transparent and visible answer on that one whenever the things are actually locked. From Mark, what technology should I start to learn now so that I'm ready when it comes out? JavaScript. Not really, actually. The one thing what I want to actually fix on this messaging as well, this is not 100% just only JavaScript and you don't do anything else. Yes, the JavaScript will have a massive role within the client-side development, no doubt. But you can still do elevation. You can still run a web API calls, which are hosted in Azure, and then you're able to access even your on-premises information using Service Bus or whatever. And we'll come back with those patterns slightly later. But right now, I would recommend people to really get used to TypeScript and React and maybe Angular. Having a sufficient amount of understanding on React or Angular will absolutely help, because that will speed up your development. And then TypeScript is the native language of the SharePoint framework. So absolutely worthwhile to get into that one. And Angular 2.0 has been built using TypeScript, so that's pretty logical match as well. When from Derek, can't give you a timeline yet. We will come up with there will be a first release, obviously, and then it will be more widely available. But we can't promise a date, because we might be promising something which isn't exact, and then you might get disappointed. And I do know that answer is disappointing as well. Will the framework be made available for SharePoint 2016 on-premises? Yes, sooner or later, yes. So we are moving the framework to on-premises as well. It won't be there, obviously, in RTM, because, well, we shipped RTM already. But it will be there in on-premises sooner or later. And again, I don't want to promise a timeline. Because it might be that, like everything in IT, you never know if it's going to be slightly delayed, even though probably your guys' projects and girls' projects are absolutely always on time. So no promises on timing, but it will be on premises. What about the provisioning engine? Good question, because it relates on the BNP. We will keep on evolving the BNP provisioning engine. There will be a new site provisioning experience in the UI within the SharePoint side. We're looking into synchronizing with that one within the BNP engines as well, and within the BNP solution. We will actually have a synchronization meeting tomorrow or day after tomorrow with the right people. So we're up to date with the guidance, there will be then anyway an API level support within a SharePoint to create those sites as well. We're not, again, and this I'm repeating, every single answer is actually almost the same. I cannot give you a definite answer on that one yet, but ask me that question within 2 weeks or within next Wednesday, not tomorrow, the Wednesday after that, in a bi-weekly office hours, I can probably answer that. Patrick Rotes answered Mark's question. Will you be able to provision from modern sites? Yes, you are. Sooner or later. Does it replace the SharePoint add-in for the new look? Not quite sure what the question is. This is not a replacement for SharePoint add-in or SharePoint app model. Technically, personally, I would actually make the SharePoint framework, so oversimplifying things. If you have followed up on what we've been doing in BNP, oversimplifying things. We're standardizing the way to put JavaScript embedded on app page. But there's a lot of additional stuff there. So there will be a framework which is helping you to do caching, to helping you to do communications, helping you to access information and all of that in a more efficient way. But oversimplifying everything, we're just automating in a more fine-tuned and a polished way. The fact that the end user goes and gets and starts adding a script editor web part on a page and adds a JavaScript over there and a Devo there, and magically the Devo will do something. that's what it is in an oversimplification, which I prefer always to use oversimplifications. Will there be a CSAM support to provision modern pages and web parts then? That's actually a good question. The target is yes. Now, from a PMP core component perspective, if there will be changes on the new modern way of doing stuff for managed code, we can still encapsulate that within the PMP core component. If for some reason the CSAM wouldn't actually be evolved, that is still the plan, but if that would happen and there would be only RESTful interfaces, we can still provide a managed code interface to manage that. So that would be then encapsulated to the PMP core component as a community effort, and then everybody could be more easily use that, unless you want to access the RESTful interfaces natively. But we'll see. Is SharePoint JS going away for good with the new framework? So the SharePoint client-side object model, you can integrate to that, but how would I put it? It's much more resource intensive to maintain JavaScript object model or even the CSAM rather than maintaining and coming up with a new APIs and RESTful interfaces and RESTful APIs. So the JavaScript object model most likely will gradually slightly reduce its role and will start accessing the RESTful APIs natively. And that's pretty much what people have been doing more and more anyway. If there is a high demand, maybe we'll keep on supporting that, and there will be supportability and whatever objectives anyway. But even the JavaScript core component in the PMP is accessing directly REST interfaces. It's not actually using the SharePoint object model. Native JavaScript object model of SharePoint. How to elevate privileges? You will call a web API or web service, and that will then use a CSAM or REST APIs as an elevation, and you can do an app-only access from there. So in JavaScript, you cannot do an elevation in the same way as you couldn't do elevation in a SharePoint-hosted add-ins. And the limitations are technical. It's not about the framework itself. I assume MDS and all of that is going away as well. Good, Patrick, good comment from Patrick. In the new UIs, that's absolutely true. So, but there will be a caching, UI caching implemented in a slightly different way, but probably won't be, well, it won't be the existing MDS model. But obviously the MDS is there to make things faster, and there will be ways of making things faster in the future as well. And I do apologize that we are going way beyond the time, but we'll continue this in the office hours and the weekly JavaScript special interest groups as well. I'm going to take questions for 3 minutes in the list, and after that we have to continue somewhere else. Can I develop SharePoint framework on a Mac without Windows at all? Answer is absolutely. So the SharePoint framework is completely technology agnostic or independent. It doesn't matter if you're using a Mac or Linux or Windows. The tooling is pretty much the same. There might be some differences with what do you actually need to install, what will be packaged to a certain bundles when you're installing stuff. But you can absolutely do development in a Mac completely. good answer from Patrick. How will different web parts? How will different web parts, which use different from a dev frameworks, be isolated? Well, when you're running in a JavaScript world, you can't isolate, and that is absolutely one thing which we need to be aware of. So, if there is a super high concerns around the isolation and the security, then like within the current SharePoint on premises or in SharePoint Online, we then deny embedded scripts on the pages, and we don't use a script editor web parts, we don't use user custom actions, we don't use JSLink. We only accept add-ins, which will then provide the isolation with an iframe. And again, that's really isn't around, how would I put it, it's around this browser HTML standards, which is limiting that, because there's no way of doing an isolation if the JavaScript is running in an embedded mode. Exists that a generator for SP framework webpods. Yes, there is a Yeoman generator for SharePoint framework webpods. It's not yet exposed. It's still hidden, but it's actually, it will be there. And Patrick already answered that. Good. Thank you, Patrick, by the way, for helping this. Is there a new SharePoint homepage based on SharePoint framework, and is there any way to customize that? That's a good question, actually, from Bob, which I can't answer immediately. And technically, I can assume, but assumption would be always bad. So I'm not going to actually say anything on that. It will be, the new homepage will be coming out relatively fast. We actually have it already in our own MSIT tenant, which is a typical process of things getting pushed out. So you will see that relatively fast. And not going to speculate on that. Can I trigger events for functions in Logic Apps in my client apps? Good question. I'm not going to get even guess that. I need to write that down. That one down. Thanks, Mark, for that one. Azure Functions. Yeah. Any talk on the framework available in SharePoint 2013? I would be highly surprised if it would be available in SharePoint 2013. I cannot say for sure because I wouldn't be I'm absolutely a wrong person to make that decision. But I would be highly, highly surprised if we would be putting our resources on the fact that we would make this available in SharePoint 2013. Great learning list from Mike. There's too many questions. Sorry, guys. Good decision. When is taxonomy coming to rest? Good question. I don't know. I need to follow up on that one as well. How does this get along with MDS? We kind of mentioned that already. But in the new experience, the MDS is going to most likely go completely away. In the existing experience, there is work being done so that even though the MDS would be enabled or disabled, the behavior would be the same. And we are 11 minutes past the hour. Will there be a different layouts and details on Canvas set? There will be, in a longer run, there will be additional and new layouts. In the first release, it seems to be that it's going to be a simplistic layout so that people are able to start using this. But then later on, there will be additional capabilities. Is there a way to plan preload SharePoint content? Is there a way to our plans to preload SharePoint content on a page so that we don't have the pages full spinning web parts waiting for REST calls to complete? The answer is actually yes. That's one of the things what will be in the framework in one way or another. What information, that's a slightly different thing, but you're able to kind of preload stuff as part of the calls or as part of the client web part. So within your code, you can just directly start accessing that information. You don't need to go back on a called server. I'll do 3 more minutes and 3:15 will stop. And I do apologize, but there's so many questions. You missed your man. Save as a template instead. Use the NPP provisioning. That's true. Need tools to get up to speed when? On Brian Latimore, need tools to get up to speed when? You can actually do this right now within a SharePoint, but the only thing what's actually missing is obviously the additional framework capabilities, but you can start learning how to do the development using TypeScript in Visual Studio Code, using Gulp, using the webpacks and all of that. And that's what we do in that client-side special interest groups and development work on, and which is meeting up on every single Thursday. So if you pull down that GitHub repo right now, it's giving you an example how to do that. You would be hosting the JavaScript in the development mode within your own local host in a Node.js server. And then you just reference that within a script editor web part, and voila, you're good to go. You wouldn't have all the goodies and additional capabilities which are coming from the SharePoint framework, but the development experience is somewhat similar. It is missing obviously the workbench or whatever we'll actually call that, but it's still almost the same. So you can actually start learning the new technologies and capabilities. PMP is very limited if this side is too complex. Need to do. What about cloning, copying existing sites? We don't have that capability right now, at least in the service. Where can I find more about BI bi-weekly office hours call? If you go to, let's see, where do we actually have that? And I'm going to paste that one in office hours BNB. We do have a blog post into dev.office.com around this one. So I'm going to actually, and actually in the all of our announcements in the dev.office.com or monthly releases, we're always referencing the office hours as well. So if you have a look on the latest May release notes, I'm going to paste that one in an IAM window. There will be information around the office hours as well. Okay, now you actually found it from my blog post as well. Good. What's the time? One more, few more questions. I want to start building future-proof and web parts now in a farm solution that will be easily portable. Take advantage of SharePoint add-ins. Okay. How do we run multiple dev frameworks in the same page? Good question. There might be some interesting caveats around that one, but it's one of the things what the development team or the feature crew has kind of a, in quotes, promised that you can actually choose the framework. And we'll come back on the guidance on some of the stuff slightly later. Good. All about it. And then there's a lot of discussions which I can't follow up. Anyway, I think it's 16 past. We need to stop the call, and I'm going to stop the recording in a second as well. And sorry for actually taking the extra time, but we really wanted to actually have you guys an opportunity to answer, well, at least some generic questions getting answered. We will talk about the SharePoint framework more and more in the BNP calls as well. We will actually release a webcast on next Monday around how to get started on the SharePoint framework. We will show some of the stuff in practice in that webcast. So have a look on the dev.office.com blogs, whatever the webcast entry will be there. It will be there roughly on 4 a.m. PST on Monday or 2 p.m. Noon in GMT timeframe. And that will be done together with Waldeck MasterCards. So that's going to go out on Monday. That will show you in practice some of the development experiences around the SharePoint framework. Good. I think that sums up this month's call. We went way beyond the time, but that's absolutely fine. Those people who didn't want to listen, the sensors, they already left or they had to go early. But we got the answers recorded, which is a good thing. And the recording will be available in Channel 9 within 24 hours. But thanks everybody for joining. And sorry if I missed your question. We will absolutely want to have a open discussion on these questions, and if there's any follow-up questions, we'll get those answered as well. We're also looking into having a potential blog post in the dev.office.com covering explicitly some of the questions, so we are working on that one, so in the future we can always reference that Q&A in the dev.office.com, because that probably would help on getting some of the typical questions answered with the voice of SharePoint engineering, so there's no doubts on the answer. But thank you everybody for joining this month call, and we will have a next monthly community call in early June. The next bi-weekly call is not on this Wednesday, the week from here. Wednesday, the next special interest group call for JavaScript development is on this week, Thursday, because that's in a weekly schedule. Thank you for joining. Thank you for your interest in BNP, and let's keep on sharing. Thank you.